Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 43. Tom, top of the, I was going to say morning to you. Oh, depends on whether when you're listening, but top of the morning, afternoon, evening, lunchtime to you.
It's one of those, to be sure.
To be sure. That was very quick. I enjoyed that. We've got a lot of news we got to get through. I've done some watching as well.
I've done a bit of watching. I've done some playing.
Yes, I want to find out a whole heap about what you've been playing because it's very topical. Mm. People have been loving it and we'll find out more. There was Fear the Walking Dead as well. We'll chat about that in the lead up to next week's episode as well. Let's crack into the news. There's been a lot.
It's been a busy week.
Over the past couple of days, I saw that Insatiable. Remember I was talking about that Netflix program about the girl that was overweight and then she lost weight and then, oh, it revenge. Avengers best served underweight or whatever. It's been picked up for a second season on Netflix. So I guess it had enough stream watches for it to be.
Please tell me they announced it as they're getting a second helping.
Oh, they didn't.
They missed a trick there.
Don't worry. I'm sure there was another article around
it. Would have been going back for seconds.
Yes, going back for seconds. Perfect.
Why do we not write this stuff?
Why do people not pay us for that? I'll talk about it a little bit later on because I watched in something in the lead up to a new season.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Sure.
But I also saw, and I know that you're going to talk about it as well, so we might as well crack into it, Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Not going to be Superman anymore.
Who cares?
Well, I think that he was pretty sure he wasn't going to be Superman.
He's clearly over it.
Like, there's no Superman movie in the near future.
No, they keep talking about a potential Man of Steel 2, but who's clamoring for that?
Nobody is.
No one wants it. Just get rid of the whole thing.
And he's got Geralt of Rivia. Like, he's got the Witcher TV series.
Which he seems way more into.
I have heard the books are very good of the Witcher. So I've played the game.
Yep.
I finished that whole game. Like, that game
That's
is enormous. I played some of one of the DLC and then...
The Wild Hunt?
Well, the Wild Hunt was the main story.
Okay.
So you were fighting slash hiding from the Wild Hunt.
Right.
Great story. Really cool. But apparently I'd never played the first two Witchers, so I'm hoping that the Netflix series will cover that.
Sure.
Because the finish, I'm pretty sure it's from The Witcher, that has got books upon books upon books. Like, I'm talking potentially more than, I was going to say Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so quite a lot. But Superman, you know what? I think people are going to be okay. We've got Wonder Woman. We've got Aquaman coming up.
Shazam,
which is where this story originated from, this Superman story, because they wanted him to do a cameo, but he couldn't because of conflicting schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he's doing Witcher. But
it's hilarious. That story broke late last night, and already by this morning they're saying, oh, Michael B. Jordan is tipped to be the replacement.
Just...
simmer down.
No one's replacing anybody. There's no story. There's no movie yet.
Exactly. Concentrate on some different characters.
Don't they have a, not Wonder Woman, Supergirl movie coming out?
Yeah, they're trying to push Supergirl. But they're doing that same stupid thing they've done with The Flash, where they've got a really great TV show and everyone enjoys that guy as The Flash, and yet they recast him for the big screen.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, and they're going to do the same thing with Supergirl? The only reason Supergirl's popular at the moment is because of that TV show.
Yeah, and they do it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, Supergirl was great. Have you seen the original Supergirl movie?
Sure, it's trash.
So good as a kid.
It's a bad but good.
Yeah, exactly. What else news-wise grabbed your attention?
Sure, so the Oscars, we announced that they'd added a popular film category.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Well, they've said that it's too close to award season to start it now, so it would make more sense to start it 12 months out. In other words, they copped a lot of flack and pulled back.
You've may or may not have heard my eyes rolling quite heavily there. It's one category.
Exactly. So, I don't fully understand everything behind the scenes there. There's obviously been a lot of push and pull. I don't know. Black Panther's campaigning hard now for the real Oscars.
Which are?
You know, your best picture and yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was also wondering if maybe not this year because it is close, but potentially if the Oscars don't return to this idea next year, if maybe the Golden Globes jump on it. I mean, they've got Best Comedy.
Sure.
Comedy / musical. Potentially they could just have Best Happy Everybody Goes to See Movie.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realms of possibility.
No, because popular and critical have separated so drastically.
Exactly. I actually was thinking about the movies from the Oscars last year, and I, out of those top five, I think, are the nominees.
Ten. They expanded it to 10.
I didn't watch any of them.
I think I saw one, maybe two of last year's crop.
And I used to watch them all the time. You know, there may have been one or two movies from the Oscars that I didn't catch, but I'm just not interested in a lot of them. Or else you just don't hear about them.
And they're so dreary. And
I mean, I appreciate Meryl Streep, but I don't need to see her in a movie every year. I'm fine.
We know she's going to get nominated.
Doesn't matter what she does.
It should just be an honorary Meryl Streep Award.
Yes!
And it's given to her every year and give everyone else a turn.
I love that idea.
Hey, Zolta, I want my money back. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I also saw that Sarah Jessica Parker was talking about Sex and the City. Oh. Not quite sure why. Mm-hmm. But she reckons it has not aged well.
Fair.
Yeah, totally fair. One point she had with that statement was the lack of diversity. She reckons that if it was to be recast, rebooted today, you would not get four Caucasian women.
Sure.
There would have to be a diverse group, which is totally fine.
I could see Jessica Huang from Fresh Off the Boat and Crazy Rich Asians. She'd do a really good, I want to say Charlotte.
Yeah, I was going to say Charlotte as well, just a little more reserved. I can't see her as a Samantha.
No.
But yeah, I'm trying to think back to Sex and the City, and even in terms of religions, I mean, New York is has such a big Jewish community.
Sure.
None of them are originally Jewish. In fact, Charlotte only converted because she was getting married to a guy who was Jewish.
Wow,
Evan?
What's his name? Evan? I think the guy that plays him is Evan.
I can't remember his name. The bald guy.
Yeah, he was on Lost as well for one episode.
Yeah, that's right. He was in another show and I cannot think afterwards and I went, oh.
Californication.
That was
Dave
it.
Dave Duchovny's manager.
That's right. I thought, oh, that's a role that he'll probably get stuck in almost all the time. I am happy that they're not going to, I mean, at this point in time, there's no talk for reboot. And I'm also very happy that there was talk of a third Sex and the City movie. The first movie was, oh yeah, that's fun. Like, we're all still wanting a bit of Sex and the City. We saw the second one and was like, I'm just going to pretend that never happened.
Sure.
So a third one, I don't think a third one would happen
anyway.
Kim
Cattrall said it won't. She's dug her heels.
Her and Sarah Jessica Parker are not friends at all. They would, if they had made the third movie, those two would not be in any scenes together.
I would only be friends with Sarah Jessica Parker so I could get closer to Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
Would you
ask him to do quotes from either Ferris Bueller or Election?
I think I'd try and find ways to have a conversation and get him to work them in unintentionally.
That's clever.
Like, should we speed up or slow down? Sometimes you've got to slow down and then see if he finishes it for me.
Or else he goes, no, I know what you're doing, Tom. Stop it, Tom. Stop it.
He'd still chuckle.
Yeah, he would.
And I'd say, come on, stop being such a Cameron.
I gotta see that movie again, actually.
It holds up. It's really good.
I remember earlier in the Watchers episodes, I was looking for remakes or reboots of TV shows and movies that just flopped.
Yes.
And there was one from the early 90s of Ferris Bueller's Day Off made into a TV series.
Ooh.
I only made one season and had Jennifer Aniston as Jennifer Grey's
the sister
part. Yeah, she was the sister.
I could see that.
The whole first episode I actually watched on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just to see how bad it actually, and it is, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
Pretty bad. What other news have you found?
So Old People Rejoice, Designated Survivor, which is Kiefer Sutherland as the president after everyone else gets killed show.
Yeah.
Which got cancelled. Netflix has picked it up and they're going to be doing a truncated third season of like 10 episodes. It's very popular with the older people who aren't on Netflix nearly as much. So I'm not quite sure where that.
Maybe that's why they've gone for the 10. See, they may end up getting some of that audience into the Netflix ecosystem.
Yep.
and then they'll discover other stuff. Like, they'll start telling you about House of Cards.
Sure.
Have you seen House of Cards? It's great.
Kevin Spacey.
He's a very good actor.
Isn't he nice?
You have to stop watching that immediately. It's not going to go well for you.
Yep. That's cool. Netflix saves another show. Armando Iannucci, who I talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
He
made a tweet the other day.
Yes.
That went super viral and has kicked off a Hollywood bidding war.
Please explain.
He put out a tweet that was basically along the lines of reality show idea. Someone kidnaps Trump in his sleep and puts him in an exact replica of the White House with actors hired to make him think he's still in charge.
So it's not the Truman Show, it's the Trump Show.
Yep, and it's kicked off a massive Hollywood bidding war, and he's now like seriously reevaluating the stuff he's working on as to whether he should just jump over and do this instead.
Literally based off a joke tweet.
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I would watch it, actually.
Yeah, like the tweet started with, "Hey, Hollywood," colon, and then the idea. And then he came back 6 hours later and was like, "Wow, people actually really want this." And now I'm getting contacted.
See it.
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh, what a great story.
Especially if they film it like a documentary.
Those docos work really well.
Yeah.
Or mockumentaries, I suppose you should.
Well, that's his style.
Yeah.
So I can see that really working. Well. And did you see the photos of Captain Marvel?
I did.
They look pretty good.
Yeah.
There's some cool
very
stuff.
Very close, I reckon,
there.
To the actual comic book.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff in there. There's two characters from Guardians of the Galaxy 1 that were on
Thank you very much.
That's okay, on the bad side. We see them in one photo.
Fantastic.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yes, who
Aussie
is now
legend.
In everything.
Yes, he's playing the main villain. The villains are an alien race called the Skrulls.
Yes.
Who are the best shape changers in the universe. And I'm very excited because this film's set in the 90s. So mm-hmm. we don't really do too much flashback stuff. The Ant-Man films had flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten bits and pieces through Iron Man and Captain America. One obviously was set back then.
Mm.
But doing this 90s
Wonder
film,
Woman, but I guess that's DC.
That don't count.
Sorry, Soz.
That's all right. By setting this in the 90s, and it's all to do with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And everything like that. And
yes.
Fighting the Skrulls.
Yes.
And makes me think that they're setting up a storyline called Secret Invasion.
Now, this is a storyline from the comics?
It is. It's about 10 years old, and it was on a slow boil build for 2 years. And something was coming.
Right.
And Elektra, who is mm-hmm. a daredevil friend slash foe, was killed and suddenly turned green into an alien. And they discovered that at some point in the past, she'd been switched out.
And where had they put her?
In space. So it kicked off this whole thing of who do you trust, because all of a sudden all these people that we, you know, characters that we'd been following for years
were
aliens impersonating.
Wow.
And like they retcon stuff in stories so that some people got snatched back in the 80s and this
wow.
sort of thing. So I think that this film, the reason why it's being set in the 90s with the Skrulls as the bad guys is someone that we know now is not who they say.
Do you want to throw some ideas?
Look, a strong candidate is Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel Jackson, I could see them pulling that card.
Yep.
As a man in charge. Maybe he even turned on the Skrulls and he's trying to prepare us to fight back against them.
Which we saw the makings of, at the end of Avengers.
Yes.
That sort of...
I could also see it being Michael Douglas from the Ant-Man films.
His, yes.
His character, Hank Pym, was one of the ones swapped out in the comic.
Okay.
We've seen him in S.H.I.E.L.D. in the 80s and the 90s. So there's some clues there. I could also see it being William Hurt, who was Captain Thunderbolt Thaddeus Ross from the Hulk film, plus he's popped up in Civil War and things like that. He's a military man. I could see him being one as part of the military.
Yeah, okay. So these characters are all known characters within the comic world and have played
been on screen a couple of
screens.
Times.
But I wonder if they're going to throw, like, a big one.
Black Widow.
Yeah, okay, Black Widow.
Because,
so you reckon...
Well, look, we know plenty about everyone except Black Widow and Hawkeye. We know Hawkeye's got a family, but we know next to nothing about Black Widow.
She's still supposed to be getting a movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And we still haven't seen, but we're aware that she knows Bucky, Winter Soldier,
mm-hmm.
from when he was in Russia, and she was in Russia as well. So there's definitely some potential back there. And the way that... You know, they set things up so her hair changes colour or style every film, and she's a chameleon and we can't quite nail her personality, which makes a lot of sense if you're a shape changer.
Oh, they've been setting this up for ages.
They have been
setting this up for ages.
Yeah. And when they pull the wool off our eyes. Yeah. Everyone's going to go, whoa.
And then the standalone Black Widow movie can come out.
So I could see this is to set up phase four, or the next phase of the Marvel movies. And I could see that one of the big twists, either at the end of Captain Marvel or the end of Avengers 4, will be someone dying and turning green.
I've actually got shivers up my spine.
It's one of my favourite comic stories ever. I love the big dumb events, and it does not get much bigger and dumber than this one. But yeah, the tagline was, "Who do you trust?" And it changed things for years in the comics, that characters that have been tight for years could not trust each other and wouldn't go back. And
so whole storylines were created off this. Oh.
And the one thing that I would love to come out of it but never will.
Yeah.
There's a spin-off comic that was called The Skull Kill Crew.
Uh-huh.
Lots of K's through there. And there were some Skrulls that were left behind that became humanish and fought on our behalf.
So they were the ones.
So they were the good ones, the Skrull Kill Crew.
Yeah.
And then there were some that messed with Mr. Fantastic way back in the day. And
he
turned them into cows. And
Have we seen any cows anywhere in the movies?
Not really. But these cows, one of them accidentally gets into a processing plant somehow and ends up in food. So some people eat this food and they become the new Skrull Kill Crew.
Oh!
Because their biology changes from eating alien cow meat.
Oh, it's an amazingly ridiculous story.
It's
I love it.
So dumb.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's like Supergirl.
Yeah.
It's dumb in the best possible
crazy
way.
Crazy fun. So I could see a lot of potential in this.
That's
so those photos got me really excited about what it means moving forward. Plus, the thing that got me most excited for Captain Marvel itself is in one photo, because it's set in the 90s, in one photo she's wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt. So if they have a soundtrack that's half as good as the Guardians of the Galaxy ones were, the 70s music,
the
90s one, I'm
throw an Empire
all
Records
about that.
Style, yeah. You know, get that one really going.
The show with a car that time travels at 88, but blows up if it drops below 50. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I also saw, this is not at all related at all, but NBC have picked up, well, they're putting into development a story called The In Crowd.
Right.
Based on an article in The New Yorker in the 90s. But the only reason I'm talking about it is because Jim Parsons is one of the producers.
Okay.
Now, I thought this was interesting because it's going to be a multi-camera comedy, so similar to Big Bang, but it's about a gay couple who own an inn, like a bed and breakfast sort of thing, in a small town, and they do very, very well, but people in the small town may not be big fans of them.
Gossip.
But they're bringing so much tourism and Hollywood stars that they're like, should we keep them or should we push them on out of town? It could work. But what another interesting side note is this is on NBC. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Big Bang is on CBS in the US. And Jim Parsons is still, I think, well, he must be linked because he does the narration for Young Sheldon, which is on CBS. So I cannot foresee him appearing in this NBC production.
I don't imagine he'd want to jump back into a network comedy anyway.
No.
But a lot of people do this executive, like Mark Wahlberg makes an absolute mozzer being an executive producer of shows for HBO.
He's got two or three at the moment.
Ballers, he's got, well, Entourage is finished, but he's got Wahlburgers.
That's right.
Have you ever watched it?
I haven't watched it, but it looks totally like the kind of show that I would watch.
I think you'd really enjoy
hands
it.
Hands down.
It's pretty trashy.
I love trashy shows. I watched the final episode of Below Deck Mediterranean.
Sure.
It's so bad. It's great.
Look, it's worth tuning into this show just to see how much of an idiot Donnie Wahlberg is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Donnie Wahlberg, is he the oldest?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure.
Mark looks after Donnie, we'll say.
Okay. I saw that Chris Pine has got a Netflix movie.
Okay.
It's not a season, a series. It's going to be in cinemas, but it's also going to be on Netflix. And it's called Outlaw King, and he has to have a Scottish accent.
Oh.
So the Scottish accent is because he's playing Robert the Bruce. It's a period drama where he plays a Scottish sort of outlaw who...
I know Robert the Bruce.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
It's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that Hollywood whitewashing, getting Chris Pine to play
potentially
a Scottish guy?
Why don't they just get a Scottish bloke?
Yeah.
Because the few stories that I saw, the few headlines that I saw of this release, this media release, was that you will be seeing full frontals of him.
Like in full dong?
Yeah. Yeah, he's showing all his junk.
Oh.
So maybe they want a well-known Hollywood actor that ladies are going to want to see the bits of.
Sure.
Let's watch Chris Pine. Watch Chris Pine. That, I think that's kind of ballsy of him to do that. Because he doesn't need to. Like,
maybe he's got a good...
Yeah, maybe he's just really impressed with himself.
He's keen to show off his rig.
He's very impressed.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Other people who should be impressed was The Nun managed to go pretty well.
Yeah. I heard it did well, like, financially, but it's not been well received by people.
It's not a movie that I saw the trailer of and went, I'm going to watch that. But I appreciated that people would go along to the movies. You want to be in a super dark, you know, theatre, huge screen, get the scares.
Look, the best review I read of it said that at one point someone coughed and that was the scariest part of the film.
Okay.
Someone in the audience coughed.
Well, it managed to make over, I think it was like $54 million in the US and it's made $131 million.
Well done.
Well, why? That's
what
insane.
Happens when you're a spin-off to The Conjuring.
Exactly. I'd say they're probably riding the coattails of that. That's it for my news.
I got trailer news.
Go.
And these are trailers just for new shows. I saw trailers for returning shows. We don't need to talk about
it. We already know.
We know. So I saw one for a trailer for a show called Single Parents. It's about single parents doing it their own way.
Sassy. You know,
they've got the kids. So Taron Killam from Saturday Night Live.
I know the name. I probably know if I saw.
Yeah, you would. You would. He's married to Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother, and she was also in Avengers.
Yep.
So he's playing a very heartfelt teacher. It looks like a bit of a fun role for him. Leighton Meester and Brad Garrett are both in there. Garrett looks old. He's getting grey.
Well, you think about it, that show would have finished at least 10 years ago.
Well, he'd be getting up to the point where... He could have played the grandfather.
That's right. That yeah, exactly. You
know, so he does look a lot older and a lot run down. That look part of his character. There could be some good chuckles in there. The people involved have me giving a bit more faith for what it could be.
You could, if anything, it'd be something, you know, one of those shows where you're like, I feel like watching an hour-long drama.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this on.
Exactly. I watched a trailer for a show that I think is all out already. It's a documentary series from HBO called Being Serena, which I thought was quite topical this week. It's it kind of followed Serena Williams' pregnancy and competing whilst pregnant and dealing with postpartum and all sorts of things like that.
She's just insane.
Yeah. It looks really, really good. And I've instantly let Linz know about it because that looks like the sort of thing that's right up her alley.
She would really like that.
Maybe in a few weeks she can come and tell us what she thought.
That'd be great because Serena herself, I mean, a lot of people who love sports and sports news and whatnot will throw names out there as go, I believe this is the greatest sports person in the world. But a lot of people think Serena Williams is the greatest sports person of all time.
She's got to be damn up there.
Oh, my goodness. She's insanely talented and also dedicated. And, you know, she's got the skills and there's hours upon hours of work there. But what she can do.
Yeah.
For her not to be in a final would be strange now, you know.
There's one called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes with Tom Arnold.
I've heard about this.
Yes, it's a documentary series of him trying to find the Trump getting peed on tapes.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I think that having Tom Arnold there, because for me, I always think about Tom Arnold as being, I can't remember the character's name in Roseanne, but he was really sort of dumb.
Sure.
So to see him follow something like this always gets me going, oh, that's right, he's a normal person.
Yeah, well, look, I quite enjoy him in True Lies. He's Arnie's offsider. Arnie does appear in the trailer for this show. At some point, it looks like he's G-ing up. You know, trying to get Tom fired up to get out there and find. But I told you about that show I watched called Unlocked, which was about, you know, celebs investigating the video game industry. And he's very, very interesting on that.
That's great.
Yeah. So his style makes me think that the show has a bit of potential.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I saw the trailer for one. The title and the synopsis made me go, eh. And the start of the trailer was like, eh. And by the end of the trailer, I was like, holy I'm in.
Yeah?
It's called God Friended Me.
I have not heard of this.
This is a young African-American guy who is a strong atheist and going out of his way to tell other people how they're idiots for believing in
things.
Is
it a drama? Or is it a documentary?
It's a drama.
Okay.
He gets friended by God on social, like literally a friend request from God, and he keeps trying to ignore it, and it comes back, and he eventually takes it, and then this God account suggests someone that he should be friends with.
Yeah, right.
And he finds that person and inadvertently saves their life before meeting them. And then this continues to happen with the people that God sends him. And it turns out that God is turning him into a vigilante.
It almost sounds like a comic book.
I know. Made me go, hang on. Yeah. So and it looks like there's some good scope setting up for moving forward in the season.
Yeah.
So I'm on board. I'm going to at least watch the pilot and give it a go.
Yeah. I like to those sort of shows that have an intriguing premise where you can feel like it's going to jump off into, you know, all different ways. Like the possibilities of that storyline are endless. I try and give them a couple of episodes because pilots set stuff up, but the second or third episode often they hit the ground running.
Yeah. Well, this trailer has the guy that he's trying to find.
Yeah.
He gets directed to find him in a subway and goes down and the guy's about to jump in front of a train and he just literally runs over and puts his hand on the guy's chest and says, "Hey, are you Sam?" And it stops him from jumping. And the train whizzes by, and he's like, you just saved my life. And so it looks like it's going to be a very subtle type of way, and I don't know if there will be any big superhero heroics, but...
It might be showing that everyday people can be super, in inverted commas, superheroes.
Or it might be like that movie from the 90s, Phenomenon, with John Travolta, where he's really got a brain tumour. Eric Clapton songs in that one.
Yeah, of course it is.
But talking about shows that have a lot of potential, yeah. I also saw the trailer for one called Manifest. A plane goes missing in 2013. Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this one before because it sounds damn familiar. Plane goes missing in 2013, reappears in 2018, touching down. People on board have not aged a day.
I love it.
They've got to reinsert themselves into society. We're following the main woman whose fiancé at the time is now married to her best friend.
Oh. Hello, Castaway.
But all the people on the plane start hearing voices. Not necessarily the same voice, but directing them good or bad.
I want to watch.
It sounds really fun.
I want to watch it.
It could be pretty trashy, but I like a bit of trashy mystery gear.
Intrigued.
I know, so that's pretty good. The part that has me most excited, the executive producer, Robert Zemeckis.
Now, can you remind us...
Framed Roger Rabbit, Back to the Futures.
There's a lot of quality behind there, so it could potentially not be trashy.
He is a master at mashing genres, at taking a story that exists in one frame and instead putting it somewhere else.
Yeah,
so
and having it work.
Yes, so... It's odd to see him doing a TV show, and we may, as you say, it may take a few episodes until we see what his actual overarching theme for the show is, but he always has something clever, some twisted genre take in there.
Apart from the tweet synopsis of a brand new show, the Trump show, Truman Show, I'd say that's probably my top.
It sounds pretty good.
Hype one for me.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's even a broadcast show. I think it's NBC.
Okay.
But I think they might even just be trialing it as a online on one series, like in one go.
Cool.
I think it's 10 episodes or something like that and due out in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So I'll report back.
If you could, that'd be great.
That'll do it for Trailer Watch.
That'll do it.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. A murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right, well, I'm going to get into shows that have a bit of a news story to them. First one, American Vandal, the show, the mockumentary.
I remember on who Netflix. Painted the dicks on the cars.
Very funny. I went back and watched the first season because the second season starts Friday. Tomorrow. Well, we're recording this on the 13th, the 14th.
I've been naughty.
What happened?
Iron Fist came out on Netflix last Friday and I still haven't watched yet. I'm going to. I really enjoyed the first season even though it was bad.
But we know why you were busy.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to that really soon because you have got a very good excuse for not watching it. I also watched a YouTube series. So I'm talking, you watch the whole series and it's about 15, 20 minutes long. It's from last year. It's called A Rom-Com by a 12-Year-Old Girl. It's called City Girl.
I'm in.
And I don't even know how I came across it, but Basically, Sarah Ramos, she had written a script when she was 12 years old in 2003 or whatever, and completely forgot about it, found it again, decided to make it. So there's a couple of faces that you see and they're like, you're in actual stuff. And they film it as horrendously as you could imagine a 12-year-old script, a 12-year-old girl's script would be.
Great.
And it's so palatable and so quick. If you've got a spare 15, 20 minutes, just look for a 12-year-old script.
Sure.
It's so funny. I love that sort of stuff. So funny. And I love the fact that there are those little gems on YouTube that you potentially may not have ever known.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you tend to watch the stuff that you, or stuff related to the stuff that you always watch on YouTube. But to step outside it and suddenly go, ah. Remember a few years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, I stumbled across a Canadian YouTube channel called Conversations with My 2-Year-Old. Mm-hmm. So I was a father, and it was real life conversations he had with his 2-Year-Old, but recreated with his actor friend who was a male in his 30s. Hilarious.
Nice.
So funny.
There's a show called Axe Cop, which is based on a comic book that a comic book artist sat down and wrote with his 5-year-old brother.
Oh, that's so good.
Malachi. And Malachi's the craziest person I've ever read anything by.
Is it just because the stories just go everywhere?
Uh-huh. He's Axe Cop. His best friend has like sock hands, and they ride on a T-Rex that has machine guns for arms. And
perfect.
It's
perfect.
Bananas.
In the best possible way.
Yeah, in that same thing of just, it's pure unbridled creativity.
Just go for it.
Yeah. And then put through the lens of an adult to make sense.
And also, I think with those kind of shows, particularly the script by a 12-year-old girl, it's the editing as well.
Sure.
They just pause on it just that little bit longer so that you go, yeah, you're right. That was ridiculous. Very, very clever. I also checked out a show on iView. It's getting screened on ABC itself, called Back in Very Small Business.
I remember that. Yeah, Very Small Business.
Yeah, it's a comedy. I need to give it a
It's got better... two of the guys from Full Frontal back in the day.
Yes, and a couple of people. Well, actually,
is it
several people? Kim Gingell is in it. I was going to say from Librarians, but he was in Librarians as well. There's a few people from Librarians in it. It's a lot of those Melbourne funny people, basically. Sure. I need to give it another go because I was a bit distracted when I was watching it.
Okay.
And you know when you're doing other stuff and you go, oh no, I've missed half of that. I don't have time to go back and watch it. So I'm going to go back and watch it because it's, I think the first episode came out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So we're a few episodes in and I think it's probably worth it because I do like that style of comedy.
Sure.
Aussie Melbourne comedy.
Yeah.
It's good. What else have you been watching?
So the finale happened of Making It.
And?
It was a wedding finale. And they had to design the arch that people would get married under.
Yes.
And there was an actual couple that came in and got married. And it was so beautiful and wonderful. And it ended on a positive note of they announced who the winner was. And it was literally like, congratulations, you're the winner. Here's your check now. Quiet down. There's a wedding happening.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it just ended the show on such a positive. I've never seen a finale of a reality show where it didn't end with a shot of the winner.
Yeah, it focused it on the wedding itself. But you said from the very beginning of you watching this, the very first episode, that it had such a positive, nice feeling where it wasn't especially about the competition.
It never was. And even to the end, like the person who won, I won't give it away, but the person who won was very humble and just more focused on the fact that he'd been able to contribute to someone else's special day.
That's nice.
Sorry, I might have just given away a gender.
Oh, no. And you said that has definitely been picked up for a second season.
Yes, not announced when, but it's definitely coming back for another season.
Brilliant.
Over on Most Expensivest, they were looking at the afterlife, and I found out that there's a service you can do instead of getting cremated and being turned into ash. Mm-hmm. This is stuff. You still get cremated, but they can take that ash and then they condense the carbon in it and they can turn you into a $16,000 diamond.
OMG.
That's cooler than being blood in a vial around Angelina Jolie's neck.
A lot is cooler than that.
Imagine being a diamond in a necklace and an old lady throws you into the ocean and then Bill Paxton comes and gets you out of the ocean. I'm angry I got that wrong.
Oh, don't be angry. Rest in peace, Bill.
I do love Bill.
Paxton.
Always Sunny is back for the new season.
Yay!
And the last season ended with Dennis, the tallest one, leaving the show.
and there'd been all the behind the scenes chatter that he'd actually left because he's got another show on NBC, AP Bio. And so this episode, there's a new member of the gang, Mindy Kaling.
So I think I've heard of her before. She might have a bit of a name around Hollywood.
Yeah, well, she's playing a character called Cindy, who's actually a really capable scammer and has hammered them into shape, and they're operating really well.
So they're really competent.
Yep.
Wow.
Except Mac is missing Dennis, so Mac is the muscly one who flirts with homosexuality and then came out last season. He's missing Dennis so much that he orders a sex doll and gets Dennis's face on it. And everyone starts tripping out and hearing Dennis's voice because of this doll, and it just undoes all the good work.
That's very so quickly. Funny.
The episode's called Make Patties Great Again. And it's awful seeing this sex doll that looks 80% like Dennis with a hanging open mouth that Mac chose the open mouth because then he looks mid-conversation. And everyone's like, you're going to that doll the second we leave the room. I'm not. I'm like, you've already fucked a doll. He's like, no, I tripped and fell when I was putting it down.
That's great.
It's really disturbing. Yeah,
but it looks like they've come out running.
And it looks
force.
Like a great way to make sure that Dennis is still on the show. There's now a Dennis sex doll that Mac carries around with him everywhere he goes. Remember that movie Lars and the Other Girl or something? With what's his name? And Driver.
Mini Driver?
No, not Mini Driver, just Driver.
Mini Driver.
Drive.
From Drive.
Ryan someone.
Don't say Gosling.
Yes, Ryan Gosling. He was in a movie called Lars and the Something Girl. And I
do remember that movie.
He fell in love with a sex doll and took her around everywhere.
It's what happens.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, I saw a show that really hit me in the feels.
Uh-oh.
In a good way.
Oh, so you weren't sort of in a...
I wasn't fragile, but it was this show...
Fetal position crying.
No, but this show...
Okay, good.
It's called Wolves and Warriors. Wolves, as in... How? And it's about a guy and his wife. Mm. He's an ex-Navy SEAL, and she is a clinical psychologist. And they run a wolf... Let me get this right. A wolf and wolf dog rescue sanctuary and rehabilitation center... staffed by veterans with PTSD.
Wow. So there's a whole lot of helping going on there.
So these are wolves and wolf dogs that were kept as pets and had a bite incident.
Yep.
So they've had a temper flare up at some point, and they've been taken away to be rehabilitated with these veterans who have had a similar thing. And whether it's been a domestic violence issue or something where he's trying to give them another chance. Mm. And the quote from it that really stuck with me is, the only way you end up alone is if you choose to be alone, be a wolf and be part of the pack. And it's just that idea of, if you're struggling with PTSD or something, I mean, we're recording this on Are You Okay Day.
Yeah, exactly. So this is really sort of relevant.
It was a really good show about hope. And, you know, wolves are pretty maligned and everyone's pretty scared of them. And they do attack and this sort of stuff.
Of course they do.
But these are wolves that have been put in this situation because of humans.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
backed
know.
Backed in a corner. Sort of
and like kept as pets, and these are not pets.
Yeah.
Wolf dogs are closer to pets,
but wolves are still wolves.
Yeah,
fascinating. And is that a whole season, like a whole series?
Yeah,
or was
I
it
don't
a
know
one-off?
How many episodes there'll be,
okay.
But it is an ongoing show. I've already I instantly went and grabbed the season pass.
Yeah,
I was like,
right.
I'm on board with this. This was handled beautifully.
Yeah,
and they came from a very, you know, the wife sits down and has clinical therapy sessions with some of the staff.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's sort of the next level of that, what was it called? Parolees and pit dogs?
Yes, very
pit
much
bull
so.
Dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Fantastic. What else have you been watching?
So Scaled, which is the show I'm really obsessed with at the moment. I actually took some screen grabs to show you how
Ooh,
cool
nice.
This was. This week, there was a new tattoo shop opening up, and the people that own it have a pair of albino boas.
Of course they do.
And they wanted a Japanese-themed pagoda for inside the waiting room area and a
cool.
second tank underneath the desk. And I'll show you what they ended up coming up with because it was pretty damn cool. That's the pagoda.
It's bloody big.
It's huge. Well, it's a huge snake. It's a really big
That's
snake.
That's true.
But yeah, it's a giant... It looks like something you'd find in a Japanese garden.
Yeah.
And then the other
Beautiful.
One for the male underneath the desk where people sign their release forms has a glass top, and the boa, they've gotten three sets of katana and like secured them to a sword. I mean, this is Wayne's World right over. I don't own enough swords to necessitate a sword rack.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, so the climbing perching frame, instead of having trees in there, they've got katanas on a stand, and this thing is real happy crawling.
Beautiful.
Around. Albino snake, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all about that show. I love that show. It's educational. And
it's everything you need it to be.
It's everything I need it to be, but just they're having a lot of fun, and they're getting to be really creative.
And they're sort of scratching that itch between tanks.
Oh, I can't wait for tanks to come back. And then I got one more show to talk about before we do Fear the Walking Dead. American Ninja Warrior had the grand finale.
Was it everything you wanted it to be?
It never is. It's only ever been what I want it to be once in the last 10 years.
That's good, though. At least you're wanting more.
Four. So there were only two people that finished stage two. There was the papal ninja, Sean Bryan, who is an...
The names are great.
Well, he's a priest. And he was praying a lot the whole way through. Amazing. And then guy who calls himself the real-life ninja, Drew Dreschel, who always ends up like second for the last 5 years running or something like that. Those are the only two that finished stage two. Everyone else that was a hot contender got knocked out. Basically, there's one called the Wingnuts, which has been 2 or 3 years, and it involves... these things that are, you've got to hold on and swing your body
and fling yourself
about 11 or 12 feet across.
It looks like something that Lara Croft would do in
a
video game, but not real human should. I don't think real human should be able to
it's
do it.
It's crazy ninja stuff. Well, only two people got through that, and then they had their first ever underwater challenge where you had to swim underwater and lift these giant doors. So you've already done 5 challenges, you're hugely out of breath, and you've got to swim underwater and open
these
100-pound doors. Yeah. Drew Dreschel went home with $100,000 for finishing the furthest, the fastest. Uh-huh. This is a new thing that they've introduced now because they're pretty sure, like, they've done 10 seasons and one person ever has finished. That guy then came back and didn't get past round two.
Wow.
So I think they've added this incentive now of whoever goes the furthest, the farthest. Sorry, the fastest earn 100K.
I think that sounds fair.
Yeah.
And also, not only do they get the monetary accolades, but also the audience gets the payoff as well.
I think that's really where it's come into it because each episode's at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I've watched a lot of it this year, and to get to that point where only two people get past stage two makes you go, it's known as the toughest obstacle course on the planet, and it shows.
Yeah, it's really showing. Yeah. Now, you were, speaking of Lara Croft, you were doing a bit of gaming this weekend. Or this week, I should say.
I was doing whatever a spider can. All the time.
Now, this is a game that has been, I think they said it was coming out a couple of years ago. So everybody got to see a trailer and they were super pumped for it.
Yep.
And the wait, I just feel like on social media the wait has been almost painful for some.
Look, it's been a long time coming. The other reason why is Marvel have been a lot more controlling over their video games the last few years. For a long time, they licensed it out to anyone, and there were some crap games. Mm-hmm. But they've really tightened things up, and this is the first major release from Marvel Studios. So they're kind of positioning this in the same way that they took their film rights back and produced their own stuff, and they've come out strong with this to say, we're drawing a line in the sand. Those old games are fine, but from now on, it is high-quality AAA titles only.
And it was PlayStation only, I believe, as well. So, obviously, there's exclusivity there, but they also went with the biggest console.
Yes. Now, I haven't finished it yet. I could have probably finished it into the main story, but there's just so many fun side missions that I'm happy to get distracted and go and stop the armored car robbery.
Oh, so you're constantly chasing criminals and stuff?
Every time. Like, you might swing for 400 meters towards your objective and another thing will happen elsewhere that drag your attention. You've got to make the call. What's your responsibility?
Yeah, okay.
A few quick thoughts for reviewing it. I'm amazed how much time you spend as Peter Parker. It's Peter Parker's game than Spider-Man's.
Okay, in the trailers, you don't see that at all.
But you're constantly solving science puzzles and doing, you've got to help him find new materials that might strengthen the web fluid that he uses in his web shooters. And
there's puzzles. There's a lot of crafting.
Yes.
Is Peter Parker also the driving storyline?
In a big way. They've been quite clever. When was it? A bit more than 10 years ago, there was a big story called Spider-Man Big Time, and mm-hmm. they kind of reset a lot of Spider-Man's world and put a lot of the major villains on the shelf for a few years and introduced new stuff. And this game is entirely focused around that.
Okay.
So the game starts with you taking down the Kingpin, who's uh-huh. always been the main bad guy in New York. You take him down, it creates a power vacuum, and it lets all these other villains that we never really seen in games or anything before come up, including, like, there's one called Screwball, who's a young woman who does parkour and has cameras around her all the time and will do horrible things like kidnap people and strap bombs to them and tell Spidey he's got 5 minutes to find them. And so you've got to get across the whole city while you've got cameras circling you and this
and
sort
she's
of stuff.
Parkouring around in yeah, your
she's live streaming
swinging
it.
Around
and she's just bothering you to get more views.
That's insane.
So there's that. There's Tombstone, who's another great mafia villain. The big bad is a guy called Mr. Negative.
Is he just really down on everything? I don't think he'll do a good job.
Yeah, surprisingly so. He does put people down a lot. If he touches you, he can flip you. So if you're a really good person and you get touched, that's bad news for everyone.
So it's kind of like that part in every episode of You Can't Do That on Television where all of a sudden it was the introduction to the opposites mm-hmm. and everything was back and forth. There's always a storyline to Spider-Man movies and whatnot, but there's also a large element of humor.
It's funny.
Yeah?
It's very funny. Look, it feels like a movie. Like, you do plenty of missions and play as Spider-Man and stuff, but the stuff that I'm really engrossed with is the storyline in between. And it's not just Peter that you play as. You play as Mary Jane.
Oh, really?
Yes. And in this, because in this, it's not he's just gotten bitten and got his powers. It's that he's been around for 8 years.
Oh, okay. So things are established.
And he's mid-20s. Yeah. He's a little more sure of himself and this sort of stuff. MJ is a photographic investigative reporter. So you play her doing stealth missions, sneaking around to find info while Spidey's in the rafters.
Fun.
So there's certain points where...
Do you have to flick back and forth?
No, but you tell Spidey what to do.
Oh, cool.
So you'll be doing something and you'll be like, okay, everyone else is looking away, you can take out that guy now. And Spidey will just pop out in your periphery and grab
that's
the guy
really
and pull
cool.
him up into the rafters and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Not, I won't say others, but there are others that you play as.
Interesting.
It's really, really good. It's really great world building. I'm excited to finish the game. I'm excited for more DLC, and I'm really excited for them to continue this team and grow that game more because it just shows a lot of potential.
It certainly sounds like they're on a winner, and that just judging by what you're saying, there's more to it than they ever showed.
Yeah, and look.
In a good way.
I've read a few reviews of people saying, oh, it's way too much like Arkham Asylum and those games. Who cares?
But didn't we like those?
Yeah, they're great games. There's people saying it's not reinventing anything. So what? Yeah. Like, you know, we've already had God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn over the last year that are very similar and they're PlayStation exclusives. Well, PlayStation's worked out what works
yeah,
for
maybe
their audience.
That's what's working.
Yeah. And I didn't play those two games much. So who cares?
This is yours.
I'm sorry, games journalists.
Yeah, who play everything.
And are paid to do so. Yeah, I'm sorry that you're repeating beats.
Speaking of Horizon Zero Dawn, I thought, oh, I've got too much on my PlayStation. You know, you get to a point where you have to delete games. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not deleting until I finish. So I finished the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really sad because I assume there's going to be a second one, but there's no word.
But you know what might cheer you up?
What?
In a few days,
yes.
Don't you get another Lara adventure?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Mm. I'm definitely going to get that. I was listening to a couple of different podcasts. Different podcasts were saying that they thought that after this that Square Enix should probably give Lara a break. And I'm like, really? What do you mean?
I'd give the origin a break.
The origin story, sure, of course. But I think they were getting overwhelmed by the amount of releases of games at the moment.
I understand that because the best thing that Assassin's Creed ever did was take a year off. So
that's
I could
true.
Really see that being a good thing for Tomb Raider.
That's true. I will be playing this one. I like those sort of games. I like Tomb Raider. I like Uncharted. Those adventures where there's puzzles and beautiful scenery. And from what I've seen of the trailers and whatnot, it looks like it's beautiful.
Nice.
And they say the tombs are really fun. Like the puzzles in the tombs are almost as hard as old school Tomb Raider.
Ooh.
So I'll be going straight online to figure out how to do that because I ain't got no time to solve ridiculously hard puzzles anymore.
Yeah, walkthroughs.
Exactly. That's what they're there for. Have we covered everything?
Yep. Let's talk about Fear the Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
I love this new villain.
Sure, she's loopy.
She is crazy. She wants to toughen people up. They can't, you know, teaming together, becoming a group again, helping strangers out. She doesn't want any part of that. She doesn't want other people to have any part of that. There's a backstory here and I want to know about
it. So she's Morgan Clear. She's there. She's lost whoever was keeping her sane before. She sees that that was a weakness, and now that she's strong, loopy.
And I also like the fact that Morgan recognises that.
Yep.
Nice. Obviously, she's next level.
Yeah.
Because she's what she is. But we still... Okay, so at this point in time, Strand and John are not with them.
Mm-hmm. And Alicia and...
They're not with them, but they have made contact with them. Crazy lady knows about Alicia. Yep. She's heard her on the walkie-talkie. She doesn't know about Strand and John yet.
Yep.
I've got a great idea, right?
What's that?
Somehow Strand and John get in contact with Alicia.
Yeah.
And Alicia says, there's a crazy person and she's following me and the truck's coming with us. And they're like, okay, what you need to do is you need to drive into this lake and get the crazy lady to have a conversation with Dr. Croc.
Sure.
That's how that's
nice. I like
end.
That.
Yeah, I did like the crocodile. Or alligator? I don't know.
It's a gator.
I did like the gator. That was a fun storyline. It was just something I hadn't thought about. Insatiable zombie eater.
Sure. I made two notes about this episode.
Go.
One, wheelchair spikes.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of this.
Doesn't have to worry about the back.
I want
to
know what else his rider's tricked out with.
Do you reckon that he also will start to trick out the truck?
I hope so.
I mean, if it survives, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. The other one I made is, what was up with that fucking bird call?
Yeah, I don't know. Stop it. You're being annoying.
So clearly they've filmed on location and there's been annoying birds in the background and they've had to splice that sound in to try and fix the audio. Yeah. Why they didn't just ADR everything, I don't know.
That's what other people do.
I hated this episode every time it went to them because my ADHD, I could not ignore that bird call. And I kept waiting for it to pay off. Somewhere at the end, that bird was going to fly by over the thing. The sound was going to make the croc jump out of the water and grab it and they could swim or something. No payoff to the fucking bird.
Why didn't they just do a quick bird flyover?
I don't know. It really rattled me the wrong way. It pulled me out of the episode every time it rolled around.
That's not good. Because apart from that,
it was a great episode. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of good stuff. Every time it crossed to those two guys, who I both really enjoy, I could.
And the story with the gator was.
Gator's right up my alley.
Oh, that's frustrating. Yeah. We'll get another episode next week. I don't know what's going on with Showtime at the moment. The past couple of weeks, they haven't shown a trailer for next week.
Okay.
Which is frustrating because I like to watch it. It gets me pumped and excited for
I've
the
gone
next
the flip.
One.
I don't tune you in for the next bother. One anymore. Well, I don't want to be tarnished when I come and chat with you about
it. Yeah, fair enough.
I want to be pure.
Well, we're both pure because we have no idea what's going to happen.
I have a feeling there's going to be some carnage, maybe a death or two, probably a zombie.
We're starting to get
we're at the pointy end.
A couple of extra characters as well, like Beer Guy. I like the premise of Beer Guy. I like what he stands for, but as a character,
I don't know. But the guy that playing him is high profile enough that to bump him off straight away.
That's true. Maybe it's time for him to prove himself.
I'd be okay if Alicia, Luciana, and Strand. Like, I'd
like
keep
the original
Strand,
characters.
Get them and just make it a rotating cast.
What about the kid? Like, her story's been told.
Who?
Yeah, just get
her. Yeah.
Make the beats, make the sad beats, the crying.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've feared ourselves out of that. So on the back of the story about the Nun and The Conjuring, I thought I'd have a look at sequels of horror movies because once they start on something, they tend to stick with it.
Sure.
So I thought I'll give you the name of a horror movie and you got to guess or, you know, let us know how many episodes or sequels it had.
Okay.
So we'll go with one that I reckon you will know first. Saw.
7.
Yeah, that was very fast. So fast. You knew I was going to say Saw first, didn't you?
Oh, I went opening day for most of them.
I did know. I had a feeling.
I've been on Saw the Ride over in the UK. I've been in Saw too. Mazes. I love Saw.
Do you remember... what's the one with it's Scary Movie. Which Scary Movie had the Saw? It might have been Scary Movie 3. And they just had the...
Yeah, I think it was 3.
Yeah, the little masked bloke on a bicycle. Tricycle, probably?
Tricycle.
Yeah, tricycle. Okay, Nightmare on Elm Street. Remember, this movie goes way back. In fact, I think the first one had Johnny Depp in it.
Are we counting Freddy versus Jason?
Yes. There's so many.
And we also have to include the remake from 2010.
Yes, we're counting that.
Is it, what, 12?
You're close.
13? No, it's not.
There's 9.
There we go. Yeah, because Jason. Are we going to talk about Jason?
Potentially.
So I know Jason's up past 10.
Oh, there. Okay. Yes. But we'll get to some higher numbers next. Not next, because we're looking at Scream.
Scream is 4.
Yeah, I completely forgotten about the fourth one. Because I'd only watched the 3.
Sure.
They were all sort of shortly after each other and it was a full story.
Yep.
I haven't seen 4.
And 4 was making fun of remakes and the, you know, the sequel that happens 15 years later that no one asked for.
No one asked for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if
Scream 4 was all right.
It was?
It was. Wes Craven was still involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was all right. All right, Friday 13th. So many. Like a ridiculous amount.
It's got to be up around 15.
Oh, you're close. It's 12.
Ah, see, I'm going too high.
So many.
I'm thinking there was Scooby-Doo that he was doing.
Scooby-Doo? What about Halloween? In fact, there's a new one coming out,
which I'm really excited for. Yeah. Because Jamie Lee Curtis is back as Laurie
Strode. She's back, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even got a similar hairdo, which I'm sure is a wig. She's had short hair for a very long time.
7?
Oh, it's 11.
11?
11.
Wow.
Yeah. There were a couple like...
Rob Zombie did the 2. There we
exactly.
go. That's the time
That's exactly
forgetting.
It. 2007 and 2009.
Sure.
Yeah. Finally, we'll go back a little older. Poltergeist. I think I only ever saw the first one. I think I saw the second one as well.
I've seen 3.
You're pretty close. 1 through 3. Then they made Poltergeist in 2015, which was a reboot. Yeah.
It doesn't exist to me.
It doesn't exist because I didn't know that happened either.
Sure.
Yeah. You did very well.
Thanks.
Yeah, very well.
Like my horror. We're getting into horror season. It's the time of year.
Yeah, once October kicks in, everybody's going to be enjoying it.
You know I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights again this year.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to report back.
I cannot wait to hear all about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to do it for this episode. We will be back next week with more fear, more watching, more nyawls, and a quiz. Tom, thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm thinking I might dance on the table next week.
I'm going to dance on the ceiling.
Whoa, what a feeling.